Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott drink yet another wine from Costco. But this time, it's not just any wine. It's Kirkland's signature series and their Cabernet Sauvignon from Oakville in Napa Valley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. Rob, it's good to be here. How are you this evening?
I am closer to fine. Closer to fine. A little Indigo Girls reference there.
Okay.
You know, someone that is not closer to fine is the Triple B. She is not on the show tonight. She is still... Well, Scott suggested that she needed to go to physical therapy, which is always a nice thing to tell a woman that she looks bad. And that's what he did. He came in a trench coat, and he told her that she looked bad. So that was doubly offensive.
Actually,
the man's wearing a trench coat when it's like 58 degrees.
Actually,
Were you going past schools and parks looking for kids?
Only the normal parks.
Okay. Wearing a trench coat.
Actually, she was walking quite stiff because Rob had allowed her to overdo it,
as usual. I allowed her. Yes, yes. I should have known to put her in hand and told her to go back to home.
You're supposed to be taking care of her, and you've failed.
Yes, I'm not supposed to let her do what she wants to do.
She's in pain,
and
you don't even care.
Oh, I care. I care. As much as it affects me because I'm a narcissist. No.
I thought it was Wilfred who's the narcissist.
No. I'm many things. Narcissist is not one of them.
No?
I know I'm worthless. Sorry. I'm manic depressant, bipolar, mentally handicapped. I take drugs that I don't know what they are. Some of them aren't even drugs. You ever like got high on mothballs, Scott? It's fantastic. You kind of treat it like crack. You know about that, right? You smoke that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about butt crack.
No. Yeah, sometimes that's what that's called. It depends on how you smoke it. Why am I telling you this? This is maybe embarrassing. Are you a cop? You know what? My attorney told me I'm supposed to always ask people before I ever talk to them about anything. Are you a cop?
That's probably a good piece of advice.
They always lie, too, because I've got arrested so many times. But you know what? You and I have something in common. Aside from all the, you know, the pornography we're both into, we both wear trench coats. So that also leads into the pornography bit.
The difference is I wear clothes under mine.
Not enough. No. You put them on before you just wear that. We know you have that trench coat. And it's the typical, stereotypical trench coats, folks, for flashing. A flasher's coat.
You're the expert.
Yes, I am. I know a flasher when I see one.
So, on tonight's show, and I'm sure this wine is so happy that we did this, but that's okay. We're back to Costco, and we just did the Bordeaux Superior, and that was really, really good. We enjoyed that quite a bit. We've enjoyed many things from the European areas.
Yeah, Gagondas.
Yeah, their Reserva Rioja. This ran out of stuff, but
we weren't as enamored with the Malbec. But you know, I've had that since, and it's
fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it is.
It's maybe somewhat uneven, but it's cheap. So what are you gonna do? But tonight we're back to Californian Kirkland wines, which we had before the Alexander Valley Cabernet. It was like $10, $9. It was made by. Well, the winemaker was Allison Crow, and she works, well, she's the founding partner of Plata Wine Partners, and they're an LLC that kind of puts this shit together, these type of wines that are just rando shit that aren't from a winery. See, in Europe, like, you know, that Bordeaux Superior, that was an estate that makes that. It isn't some sort of conglomerate secret society Illuminati shit. They really do name that. Their Rioja comes, I think Murel makes it, and that's a really, really good producer. So Gagondas had an estate in Rome that does it. They have estates that that are on contract making those wines. But in California, not so much. They go to, similar to what Trader Joe's does, I think, goes through these wine creators of sorts. And Alison Krauss is responsible for some of that. So if you wake up in the night vomiting because you sniffed a bottle of anything from Trader Joe's that was Californian, you know who to blame. Probably. It was her, you know. So she was also the maker of their Alexander Valley Cabernet, which was shit. It was total shit. Matter of fact, it made me feel like I didn't ever want to drink wine again. But that's, you know, whatever. We're not drinking anything from Alexander Valley tonight. We're not
Wait. Allison makes stuff for Trader Joe's and
No, Kirkland? I'm saying that the... maybe she does, but that would be odd, though. Normally, contractually, why would you be... But, no, a place like Plata Wine Partners would do something like that. They do these wines for international and national chains. It says that right in her little thing here on LinkedIn. So that's what they do. So they put together wines from coastal California wines, Santa Barbara to the Napa Valley. That's what they do.
I don't.
And you'll see in TJ's, they have their coastal series. They have their select series, you know. Where does that shit come from? Things like that. Yeah. So they have their own plots, but they also do source. And they're bringing stuff in from, you know, not the best. But tonight, this is their signature series from Kirkland. That's their upper level of sorts. And this is a wine, a Cabernet, actually, from the Oakville AVA in Napa Valley. Now, Oakville, if you drink Napa Valley wines and you drink Cabernet, you should know Oakville. Because Oakville is where a lot of the best stuff is made. Schrader. You know, stuff like that. Screaming Eagle. Opus One. This is all Oakville. Oakville is... I mean, I think some people would argue they like... I like St. Helena maybe a little bit better. I like, Stag's Leap maybe a little bit better. But that's because I don't drink. I can't afford Schaefer. And I can't afford... But the big dogs, the best of the best, a lot of them come from Oakville. Now, those cost, you know, $500 to $1,000.
That's my prices.
Yeah. This cost $19.99.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, a little bit cheaper than that. So what can Alison Krauss do with, you know, we're going to say her name a lot tonight because if it's bad, she's to blame. And if it's good, we're not going to mention her name again because her Alexander Valley was so bad that nobody had ever tasted that after.
Will we sing Canon Crow songs?
No, we'll sing Sheryl Crow songs. You know, she is performing at the Lancaster Festival.
No.
She is.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She is.
Okay.
Not that... Are you going? You might.
I would go to see Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, you would. You probably would.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know, because I'm always on vacation the week of the Lancaster Festival. That's one reason. So, yeah. There's that. But, you know, I did go see other people. Oh, what's his name from Styx was there. Dennis DeYoung.
That's been a long time ago.
I know, but he did perform.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, he likes to think he performed. Why don't they? When the band and I get back together. His wife on him. VH1 Behind the Music. His wife saying to him, honey, they don't want you in the band anymore. So, folks, can the Kirkland Signature wine from Oakville, made by Alison Krauss once again, be any good? Well, we're going to find that out as soon as we get back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the Kirkland Signature, well, I'm sorry, the Kirkland Signature Signature Series, Oakville Cabernet Sauvignon, very dull label, black label, Signature Series in block letters, Oakville, always in script. You always see that in script. And then Cabernet Sauvignon in white block letters below. This is the 2020 vintage. You can buy it, I think, right now at Costco. It is on sale. So if it's good, it won't be. Run out there to your local Costco and buy it up. $19.99.
And that's $20 for a cab.
Well, yeah.
We talked about in the past, what's the price point where you'd expect there to be some quality in a Cabernet Sauvignon domestic?
$20
is a number we kind of roundabout set.
I look at this wine also as a bit of a novelty. So
why is that?
Well, it's from Oakville, and it's $20. Is it any good? I didn't buy it because I thought it would be. I bought it because I was curious if it would be. And it's from Oakville. It's just trying it is the main thing. A lot of these things, why do you ever buy anything from Trader Joe's? I was actually in Trader Joe's the other day. And I didn't buy a damn thing. I looked at all their stuff. I even touched something. And then I wiped my off on my pants. And then I you know, just like Wilford would. And I got the hell out of there, honestly. But I didn't buy any bottles of wine.
Were you nervous?
No. We've already done most of their rando stuff. They still sell fucking Tribunal, for Christ's sake. And then, what was that called? Starts with a P. Pontificate.
Yeah, Pontificus.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's all Grenache-based stuff. And then they have some stuff that is Bordeaux-esque and... Quite frankly, you can buy better things elsewhere for the same or less money. So there's no reason to buy things there.
They have a decent Italian selection if you go towards the upper price range for Trader Joe's.
I bought a couple
decent Barolos there.
They had the $21 Barolo. That was the one I touched, and then I realized it's like, stupid.
Well, Griffon. You know, take it up the next couple dollars.
Well, it's just, next couple for Barolo, you try again.
They had some, and usually they have some around $29, $30.
They had one at 21, so didn't look, I think you bought it before, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But this wine itself has no reviews that I'm aware of at all, anywhere. Not even like, I'm not going to look up there's the Costco blog. Okay, now I'm not going to look that up. So this is the first time I think anyone's ever drank it, I believe so.
I think it's the first time it's ever been purchased.
It's probably, no. A friend of mine bought some, and he sent it to me, so that's why I bought it. Now, Alison Crowe, she did talk about this, probably through an email, and she goes, this wine is a true reflection of the vintage with dark fruit aromas of sun-warmed blackberry, cassis, plum preserves that match seamlessly with vanilla and baking spice notes of toasted French oak. Generic. So. And what's the alcohol in this sumbitch? 14%. So, you know, that's okay. In the glass, it does look bright. It's dark.
A little bit of a watery edge.
If we be honest about a little sediment.
Yeah, that's fine. That's something you might expect.
In what? Sandbox?
You know, it's just tartaric.
It is.
Acid structure. So, you know, it's a younger Oakville cab.
Yes, I should have aged this for five to 10 years.
Well, let's find out.
I have a second bottle.
Let's find out what these tannins are like.
Oh, we will. It should be big and tannic from Oakville. It should be.
That's what you'd expect.
Should have dark fruit. It is should be classic Californian Cabernet. What should it be? It should be that.
Fruit forward.
Mm-hmm.
Some savory fruit. Perhaps some...
Cassis,
mocha, coffee thing going on. Mm-hmm. We'd be ecstatic if it had a little sense of minerality or earthiness, either of those two things.
Okay. I spit all over myself.
He's so hopeful. That's what I think
it's going to be acidic because Just a gallon full of acid makes the wine kill your throat. Wine kill your throat. I think actually the Alexander Valley made us physically ill. On the nose. Muted nose of, well, there's a little blackberry.
And Rob's broken out the
menthol.
Big, humongo.
Yeah. Grand Bordeaux.
Gallon size Grand Bordeaux for the Cabernet glass.
If it's going to show anything, it's going to show it in this. Maybe a little bit of mint, but that's more menthol. That's, you know, wishful thinking.
It's a quite fine nose. It's a little subtle.
It's very subtle. It's slightly muddled. I mean, because there's not a lot of depth. When I say muddled, I mean it lacks definition between the elements.
But there's nothing offensive, and it's
no
nothing going on in the nose that makes me think, oh my God, this is going to be horrid.
It doesn't smell like a bag of farts. No, it does not.
That's exciting.
Yes. Trust me, there's some wines that have smelled like
bag Have you of had farts. A hard day with the kids?
Yeah.
Your reference is a bag of farts.
Well,
it's been one of those days. Sir.
It's every day is one of those days, man. Okay.
So. Damn it. He doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't. All right. Let's go. Let's drink this.
I'm going to say I'm a little more hopeful than the wine guy. My prediction is this is going to be okay.
It is a little acidic. It's acidic. It is acidic. It's acidic. Well, the damn woman. She fucking makes everything acidic. The wine doesn't have bad structure. It doesn't have bad flavors, but it's marred by acidity.
Let's get past that.
I wonder
first.
If she's completely, or if her palate is completely. Tone deaf, if that's a word. I mean, I wonder if she smokes 50 packs of cigarettes all day. She doesn't know what she's doing. We already knew that with the Alexander Valley. This is a winemaking flaw. The grapes aren't bad. There's a lot of decent element there. It's acidic.
Let's let it calm down for a second. That's our first pull. And sometimes that one characteristic can hit your palate and then... After a couple more pulls.
And burn a hole through your esophagus.
It calms down a little bit. So
that's cayenne.
That's what her dumb ass would say.
Fucking man. You're so critical.
She's Steve Bodie. The Steve Bodie of winemaking. That's what she is. I don't even know why. Steve Bodie, folks, he had like a wine shop, right? In like somewhere in Washington. And he wrote a blog. I don't know if he's dead or not anymore. Who cares? I've never really looked for stuff anymore. And so what he would do is he would write some sort of tantrum slash rant about a wine or something associated with wine.
Sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, I don't write him, but I do. But he would quote himself in what he writes. So he would say, quoting myself, blah, 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 blah. You don't have to quote yourself, but he would do that. And that upset me greatly.
It was a little unusual.
Yeah, Steve Bodie. Oldie but goodie. That's been like season one kind of. That's been a few years since we've talked about his dumbass. He was the original dipshit that we didn't like.
Then there was a guy that reviewed wine from Vegas.
Oh, yeah. He reviewed 19 crimes and gave it a 90 points. Yeah, I forget what his dumbass was.
Rob's going back in. I went in for the Gouda. We're having a double Gouda salami, a contrimont.
Yeah.
Tonight. And I went straight in for the Gouda.
The acidity is settling down a little bit, but it shouldn't have been there to begin with. What if she's not familiar with maloactic fermentation? She never learned that. It's a wine that is very, very... This is a word I've never used. It tastes like everything that you're drinking is in the background. Nothing comes to the forefront. So the fruit, it's off there in the back somewhere. The tannin, off there in the back somewhere. Everything just tastes like it's 18 feet away. You can see it. You can taste it. But it's not present. It's not focused. It's not there in your face. It tastes like a wine that is trying to be very sophisticated and show a lot of class intentionally, but, you know, doesn't zip up its fly when it comes into the room, you know? It just is, yeah, it's a facsimile. There you go. It's a facsimile of wines from Oakville. Whether or not I would think that I would, you know, it's better than a California Cabernet.
Yeah, it better be.
Yeah.
But there's a little... There's a little funkiness in the oak, too. A little...
It's a little charred.
A little too charred.
Yeah, and that's kind of with that acidity, too. Yeah, because it kind of shifts. It's a kind of an odd... Yeah, it's now, because as you drink more, like anything, your mouth numbs. And it is a little bit almost, well, it's very woody, a very, very woody on the finish. And it takes a bit of a sharp edge because of that acidity. So once again, it might taste toasty if it wasn't overlaid with the acidity. It's strange that, I mean, this is not nearly as bad, not even in the same ballpark as that Alexander Valley, because this actually has good fruit behind it. That didn't. That was just green, shitty fruit. But it's amazing that you have two wines made by the same person, and they're both flawed in the same way. One is more flawed than this, but it still has no business having that acidity, and that's controllable through the winemaking process. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, it is.
Well,
you're checking pH levels. You're doing chemistry, science shit. What's she doing? Talking at conventions?
I would say...
You know, JoJo, you know, the circus monkey is in there making the fucking wine?
More controllable would be when you harvest the grape. When, you know,
well, she doesn't do that.
But you're picking the grapes.
They're just a little bit ripe? Or a little bit unripe?
Maybe, right? Mm-hmm.
Younger vines. I mean, they're not getting... They're not. The Schrader didn't say, you know what? Hey, Costco. You know, we've had a hard time selling our wine. So, you know, yeah. Would you like to buy, you know, some of our grapes? And Screaming Eagle's like, you know, times are tough. We're having a hard time moving this stuff. We were going to go on closeout, but if you'd like to just label it as Costco, how much are you going to charge for it? $20? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Uh-oh. Land is expensive. In there, so yes. You know, there's a way that they're getting the profit margin. You know, how are they doing that? Well, lying.
How dare they?
Yeah, lying is one way. But, you know, I think for most people, if you drank this with food, it'd be okay.
And let's be honest, we've had a lot worse things. And
oh, yeah.
And
some made by
probably
her.
Not a fair comparison to compare this to the Alexander Valley, but there's that. But
well, it has the same winemaker, I guess, is the thing, and it has similar flaws. So.
This has just got some problems, and it's from a more premium stock potential from Oakville, right?
Yeah.
For the grape itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we put this down our Cabernet Sauvignon Tour of California designate wines,
well, better than that.
What would this be? It'd be top three in the list, for
it,
sure.
Oh, no, it's better than any of those.
Right.
I can't think of a single one that was California designate that was better than this.
None. But still, there's a couple things in here that do go to the winemaking.
Yeah, then that yeah, because I mean, if you the oaking is a little bit too heavy-handed, and the acidity. If those two things were just tweaked a little bit, this wine would actually have a little bit of a Bordeaux-esque quality to it, because it is. I mean, okay, that facsimile, that everything is in the background. Oh yeah, that's what it is. But it's $20, and it is from Oakville, and it does have a little bit of that smoldering nature that some of the Oakville wines have. It just doesn't have the big fruit. And so it does have a little bit of that, you know, twinkle of something a little bit different, a little bit more interesting. It's simmering there, but it's saddled with flaws.
Yeah. And
bad winemaking.
What could be done to address the acidity? Like, say, you've
fire Alison Krauss? That would be that, because she's not good at what she does.
Maybe a subtle little blend of 5-10% of something else to deal with the acidity.
They don't say that they do this or not, do that or not, but yeah, if they don't, they should.
Right?
You know? Well, no.
Just tweak that acidity.
No. They can chemically fix that through the wine. You're checking the acidity levels. Oh, that's still high. Mm. It's just malolactic fermentation. You want to smooth the wine out. Yes, there probably is a little greenery in there with the grapes, but it's mostly just not adhering to good winemaking. You know, if this were really a big, huge wine and it was acidic somewhat, you'd say, well, that's because it's young and it needs to age.
Mm-hmm.
This can't age. What would it, 2 years? There's not enough anything else. The Kirkland Signature Bordeaux Superior has more ageability than this. It's also better wine, but a lot better wine.
Yeah, the thing for me about this is,
I mean, it's drinkable though. Don't let me start. This is perfectly drinkable. If you had a bottle and you bought it by accident, you know, ha ha ha. I have another one. You're not going to hate your life by drinking it. This might be something that if you're having people over and you've already had a bottle, you slip this in. No one's going to mind. They're going to drink it and it's going to be fine. This is better than Bonanza. This is better than all that stuff. I mean, it's way better than that shit, because it actually is an attempt to make proper wine. It's just made by somebody that doesn't give a shit, that is more interested in making money as opposed to crafting stuff. She's not an artisan. She's not.
Yeah.
She's not. If she was an artisan, she would be more prominent, not making wine for Costco.
Probably getting paid good for making the wine for Costco.
Probably hourly, yeah.
I'm guessing she's making a living wage.
Maybe, on tips. She has her guitar case opened on the subway. She sucks, though. She's like, la, 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 la. That's the way her wines taste, so... You just can't fuck up the same way twice. I have a low tolerance.
Apparently you can.
Or take your fucking name off there. You are not a selling point, Alison Krauss. You are not. Robert Mondavi, when he was alive, God rest his soul, he was a selling point. Alison Krauss is not. Shall we remind the listeners of her esteemed, what did she make? Picket Fence was one of them. Fucking knows what that is.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a wine. That's what she. Then the other one said she left them. Let's just look about once again. I know she worked for Shalom for a little bit. Alison Krauss winemaker. So Garnet Vineyards, remember that? And I think she left there. And that's just a bullshit. That they just suck. She went to Santa Clara though. Picket Fence Vineyards. Higher Ground Pinot Noir winemaker. She just makes random shit that are all probably in the holiday box at Kroger.
Garnet Vineyards. So you go to pull up their webpage, and what do you have? They're offering their 2018 Monterey County Pinot Noir and their 2016 Monterey County Chardonnay.
What was that supposed to be?
The cork dust crumbling when you open it.
Well, here, this is the thing. This is her on her LinkedIn. She makes Sea Wave, lower alcohol calorie canned Chardonnay, Rosé, and Pinot Noir, barf, buttercream Chardonnay, sounds great, Verrata Pinot Noir, the Kirkland Signature Cabernet, which got 90 points from the Spectator, Caneros Pinot Noir, and Alexander Valley. Oh, this from... She also makes the Caneros and the Alexander Valley. And those are so fucking good. They said, well, why don't you try Oakville? Then she makes, past projects, folks. Past projects means that she swept the floor. And she swept the floor at layer cake wine, which we know is bad.
Oh, God.
Oh, but it gets worse. Cherry pie wine, Garnet Vineyards, and Picket Fence Vineyards. Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just, you know. Oh, but All Plata, that's the place she works for now. Well, she's the president. They're vegan. Okay. Non-GMO, gluten-free, because they put flour in wine, I guess. And are sourced from 100% sustainable certified vineyards. And what did that just say? Sourced. So, sourced is not always a good thing. Normally, it's a bad thing.
Allison Penn's The Wine Wizard column in Winemaker Magazine.
Winemaker Magazine.
The Wine Wizard. It's popular.
She's the Wine Wizard?
She's the author of The Winemaker's Answer Book.
You know what? I'm the wine warlock. If you remember Ghostbusters with the Keymaster and the Sigourney Weaver, the one she's acting like a whore. Is that a bad word? I don't know. She Keymaster and the Gatekeeper. That's so. Rick Moranis was the Keymaster, I think. And so,
Wilfred, can I ask you a question about Mr. Moranis?
Yes.
Did you find him attractive?
Yes. Well, no. Why? Well, I mean, what do you mean? I don't understand. Are you suggesting something that I indulge in the love that dare not speak its name?
Sure.
That involves badgers, but I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, Lord.
That's not love, though. That's just I don't want to talk about that. You're taking me down the wrong path. I'm talking about being a wine warlock. I'm writing a column about that. It's on thewinevault.org. I'm kind of called the Wine Warlock by Wilfred Wong.
Wrong.
Yes. Wrong. I'm sorry, yes. Because Wilfred Wong is trademarked by some dude that works for the wine.com. I don't know why. But I'm him, though.
You're wrong.
I review wines, and what is the... If you found the witch, the wine witch, or whatever the hell her name is. Wine wizard.
Wizard.
She's a wizard.
Wizard.
What does she write about, Scott?
Winemaking.
She
provides answers.
Acidity is good. I love it.
She has her famous, world famous blog at girlinthegrape.com.
Yes. I think she sounds like just like a shell game, kind of like the Triple B, where she works for Russia and Belarus, but pretends she doesn't.
Well,
I think she got shot. That's why she's hurt. That's why she's mumbling around. And you said
horrible.
She needs to go to physical therapy.
Yes, I did.
Because she looks terrible, you said.
I said she needs to go to physical therapy because she's stiff and overdoing it.
Oh, that's not what you said. You said you look like shit. That's what you said. I'm going to drink more of this wine because I want to be acidic. My personality is acidic. I spit acid. That's what I... Allison Crow, good God. Don't say who you are. Go by a pseudonym, like me. The Wine Warlock.
The Wine Warlock.
I'm amazed I remembered what I said the first time, the second time.
Well.
I know.
That little dance with dementia you do, Wilfred.
No, I'm just drunk all the time.
Well.
Mothballs. I sniff mothballs.
I thought you injected them up. Your cavity.
You mean I stuff them up my ass?
Well,
that keeps the moths out of there, so that's nice. Yeah. It makes my butt feel nice and minty.
Minty?
Yes, minty.
Minty?
Trust me, that comes in handy sometimes.
Okay.
What? This is James Suckling. Wilfred, leave me out of this story. I don't want to be part of this.
I think you just injected yourself into the story, James.
Damn it. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we are going to talk about the best thing in the world. It's called
airing a grievance.
No, no, it's called actually Scott's pool watch. Now Scott is Scott. Yeah. Scott, let me just tell the story here. It's my story. So
how is it your story?
Scott, for many years, because it's my story, has wanted to put in a pool at his house. You know, he's had several houses. He moved around quite a bit, like a gypsy, but still, he settled on a house finally.
Allegedly.
And he gave up his gypsy ways for a while. And so he and his very patient wife.
Always
patient. Very patient. She lives with you.
That patient. Doesn't mean she's patient.
They agree. Well, if she's dumb, I don't know. She's patient.
Well.
She's given up. She just gave up. She settled. You know, Pearl Jam song, Better Man, really applies. Nevertheless. They decided they're going to build a pool. And so Scott hires a guy, a crew of sorts. And this gentleman is very, very astute, a very strong businessman. And he takes a $100 check from Scott and holds it as a deposit. He doesn't cash it, folks. He holds the check.
This is a different person that's doing the pool.
Well, I'm telling the whole story now, just part of the story. And so he holds this check for Scott, but which obviously goes stale. But then all of his crew dies.
Twice.
It's not a joke. They all died. COVID, whatever.
Two crews.
He had two crews. They're all dead. So Scott hired dead people. So that never started. But luckily, the guy never ran off with his check. So that's good. But then this guy, who all of his people died, literally, they're all dead, he recommended some other jabroni. And so Scott goes, well, that sounds a great idea. All you are dead, but from the grave, I will take your suggestion. So Scott hires this new crew. They're supposedly very good at what they do. And so what they have done in his yard, this started, what, in August, Scott? This is an interview. You have to just answer me clearly. August.
The digging started. The work started in August.
Okay. Air quotations. August of 2022, work started. And what they did was think in Ukraine. You have artillery being shot off. Think of a artillery piece firing a shell. And it landed in his backyard and blew up in his backyard. That is what his backyard is. And his backyard isn't a tiny backyard. It's not huge, but it's not a tiny backyard. The whole backyard is a wasteland. Just like World War One between trenches. That's what it looks like.
Teenage wasteland.
Yes. Now, what they have done, in their defense, they have pretended to work and brought out, you know, what? Metal walls with the intent of someday pouring concrete. Okay? Now, and that's been since August. And that's it, folks. They blew up his yard, blew it up, and then put some metal in there, pretending like, and they left a shovel or two, right?
Wheelbarrows.
Wheelbarrows. But did they pick those up again, or they still have those there?
No, what they picked up was the excavators finally out of the backyard.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good, good, good.
The rental.
Okay,
it was a rental.
Well, they don't have anything.
A question I want to have with my contractor, if I ever speak to him again.
Mm-hmm.
Is did he pick up the rental, or did the rental company finally find it
and repo it
and repo their own piece of equipment?
Well, Scott, you were saying to me off air that you actually had some progress on pool watch this week. Tell the listeners how it went. Just
so
go ahead.
There's a saga to the story. So, you know, typically someone who's building a pool would excavate the pool, and then they take the dirt away. It's like one of the first things they do.
But he does not. Scott has a mountain of dirt.
Two mountains of dirt.
Yes.
The backyard is a mountain of dirt.
Yes.
Now, there have been multiple issues. The first issue was when he was digging one day. The local building code enforcement authority came by and said, hey, knocked on my door and says, by the way, there's a stop work order because you don't have a permit for this work. So that led to a scramble and many apologies. And then there were some problems with some of the materials. So we changed some of the order of work. So we decided to put the propane line in first for the heater, which is installed, but
there's no pool.
There's no pool to connect, and the propane company won't approve the propane line until it's actually the heater's connected, which is kind of why.
Until there's a pool there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a hole.
Yeah. So the walls are installed in the pool. No. And we're ready for the foundation. No, well, you haven't seen the walls. The walls are up and installed.
They poured concrete?
The foundation's not poured yet.
So they put up the mold, essentially, for the...
It's the steel walls.
You have a steel wall pool?
We have steel, yeah. That's pretty typically how they're done.
Okay. That's very exciting.
But
they've not poured any concrete.
You pour a footer.
Yeah.
And you backfill with gravel. Mm-hmm. And then there's concrete.
And they've not done it
at the top. No, none of that's happened. Now, there's various materials around the yard. I've got
trash
hoses that are to be used for water to come from the pool to the heater and to the
sitting outside
filter device. Yeah, they're just kind of hanging out in the yard.
It's been, what, 6 months?
Now, some of it, it's a funny thing. Some of it just showed up in December. So he's like been there when we're not there. Or I'm down in the basement working and doesn't tell me. Like the day that the excavator disappeared, didn't know what happened. It just happened. Deb was running errands. I was working, and yeah. Mm-hmm. But we had, you know, there's some highlights.
So
there was some progress. There was some communication.
Yeah, how'd that go?
So send a text. Hey, when are we gonna see you back again? You know, something. Okay, a little passive aggressive, but it's been a little while since we've communicated. And I make a phone call. And while I'm leaving a message, I get a text back from my guy. And he says...
he texted you.
He texted me back. Well, allegedly. Allegedly, it was him. So I'm leaving a message saying, hey, you know, I'd love to hear from you. Want to see if you're going to make my pull. And he texts back and he says, hey, can't take your call right now. Call you back within 30 to 60 minutes. So,
so how did the conversation
that
go?
That was good.
Mm-hmm. So he called you back. How did it go?
No, I didn't say that he called me back.
Oh.
Just the highlight of the communication was the text saying he was going to call me back in 30 to 60 minutes and no call. So the pool's not progressing. It's not fun. But it is February in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what... Next time we're going to do pool watch is next February. Probably the same pool fucking watch. Thing. Pool watch.
Pool watch with Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Yes, and I'm watching a hole in my yard. I'm sure your wife is very, very understanding.
She's still.
Who picked this contractor?
So he was recommended by the guy we'd originally signed.
Who chose him?
Now he did say
the guy who's everybody's dead.
He did say, you know, but he's got a little work ethic problem.
Does he?
I believe he's John's this guy's name. John's like, you know, I think once you start a pool, you should work on it till you're finished. That should have been a, you know, maybe that was a little bit of foreshadowing.
Don't use him?
Well, he built four pools for John.
Okay.
He did build four pools for John, including
over how many years?
Sample pools.
15?
Yeah, maybe he didn't tell me that long ago. But
what is he doing right now?
That's a good question. And we have had some temperate weather. Where some type of work could have been done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they could have got it done in August or September or October.
There were some problems with materials. There was when they went to pick up the walls, three of the panels were damaged. So there was some rework done.
Oh, who told you that?
You know, he showed me pictures.
From the other jobs?
No, from the warehouse.
Oh, sure.
There have been some problems.
Sure.
But...
yeah.
Not of this nature.
Would you like to let everybody know who your pool guy is so they don't use him?
Yeah, I'm sure he's not a national firm. So.
Well, no, I'm sure he's not. No, he's probably not even on Craigslist. But you ended up with him. Nice job. Folks, now you kind of see why sometimes some of the wine Scott's buys isn't of the highest quality. Because he makes bad decisions. It just comes all back. It's the circle of life. You make bad decisions. You do make bad decisions.
Oh, I make bad decisions.
Yeah, you do. You do. You make bad decisions. It's true.
Corvette.
It's in the past, man. And that actually worked out okay. Hey, man, the Mustang. Knock on wood. That's a rock star, man. I put 2,000 miles on the damn Mustang. 2,000 miles on the Mustang. Well, a little more than that.
Hey, did you get that title yet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I actually am a man and made them bring it to my office.
Oh, okay.
And then I refused to go down and had somebody else take it because I was like, no. I'm actually not going to acknowledge you, so you had to give it to my staff. I big timed him on that. He drove through a snowstorm to bring
That's
it to
a real man. You made them give it to your staff. You didn't want to face them in person.
I didn't feel like it. I didn't have to. I don't have to.
Oh, Jesus.
And I explained it to the person that got it, and she's like, I'm going to be really rude to him just for fun. It made her happy. She loved that.
It's just some guy delivering the title.
No, it was my salesman. Yeah. Well, my salesman, not the Eastern European dude. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to pick up the check? We never picked up the check. You didn't pick up the check? We have not picked up the check. It's like, why? I do not know. Aren't you the finance guy? I am the finance guy. You don't go get the money? No. This is my conversation with him. Wait a minute. You didn't go pick up the money? No, we did not. Why didn't you pick up the money, you stupid dick? I do not know why. This is bad. It's like, you fucking moron. Doesn't the owner of your dealership wonder where the money is? Yes. It's like, what is your fucking problem?
Oh, he's just got to make the books balance the other month for Putin. You know, Putin's not checking on him every day.
I guess not. Shit.
The Russian car lot that you bought a car from.
Eastern European, man. It's not necessarily Russian. Czechoslovakia.
Well, it depends who you're talking to.
I think he was.
Because apparently.
I think he was from Czechoslovakia.
All of Eastern Europe is belonging to.
No, that's the Triple B's opinion, not my opinion.
Well.
She calls it the master plan. I don't know what that means. But she didn't say it to me. I hear her say it in the next room when she's talking on the phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
In a different dialect. It's just like she has an accent then. You know, that's weird. I don't know what that's all about.
So probably because you won't let her take physical therapy.
Yeah, right. You need physical therapy. You look like an old hag. You see my trench coat? It's lovely. She's gonna be like saying shit about you tomorrow.
No, she's not.
Fucking Scott said I look like I need physical therapy. Fuck him.
No, all I said was she looked very stiff, and she overdid it.
Well, she did overdo it, but she's just trying to be active, but she overdid it.
As soon as I walked in the house, I saw her walking. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, she went to a party last night, and she was stood up for 2.5-3 hours, and she shouldn't have. She needed her sleep, too. She needed to get, but she went, and, you know, whatever. You can't do everything, so, you know, basketball games this morning, but she won't go anywhere tomorrow, which is good. That's okay. Folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and review the very Alison Krauss-ish signature series from Oakville in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
As soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Kirkland Signature Series, Oakville. Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley. Well, Oakville in Napa Valley. Made by Alison Krauss. Remember that name, folks. Next time you go in shopping, always turn the bottle around. See if it has her name. If it does,
run away.
You just don't buy it.
Run away. Yes.
Run away.
A rabbit. Oh, but he's got ferocious teeth and fangs. Mm-hmm. A rabbit. Yeah, but her name is Alison Krauss.
That scared the shit out of Bo. Scott, what are your thoughts on? Did you want to break this wine down more? It's just.
I've got 3.5-4 ounces in my glass.
You're not drinking it. I'll drink a little more. It's drinkable.
Kinda.
If you're thirsty. And you have to, like, sort of drown your pain.
If I'm thirsty, I'm going to take this.
Oh, no, I've been drinking a lot of water, yeah. It's good. Water's good.
It's the more I'm drinking this, the more I think it's not just her. I just don't think it's the best stock.
Oh, well, no.
I mean,
it's the her,
front,
but
front. The you know what hits your palate at first isn't as fruit forward as it should be. It's not as
no, it's well,
it's just it doesn't
it's like, it's,
demonstrate any.
It's non
berry,
it's non-committal
red,
to any real
bright, big fruit.
Yeah, it's non-committal to any element really. It just
that, good point. Not mm-hmm. not really committed to anything, or maybe we should be committed for trying to break this down. The savory yeah. fruit element is there, but it's not maybe kind of sort of in the right place. Mm-hmm. The oaking is really what disturbs me the most about it, and I just can't get over that. There's just this overdone basis to it, and it's just a bit too charred. But even that, it doesn't really take over the wine. It's not this thing that jumps out at you. It's just the more you try to drink it, the more it's just there, and it's just meh. I'm at an 84 because of the flaws. It really, I agree, it's not that bad. It's drinkable, but it just doesn't score an 85 for me, which is for me is the basis of it's good.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd say 85, but $20 is good.
But 84 is where I'm at, and I wanted to like this wine. I was hopeful of this wine. At $20 with Oakville stock, she really should have done better with this.
She can't because she's bad at what she does. I am at 85, but the range on this is 83 to 85. And it's not recommended. And the 85, it's palatable. You know it's Cabernet. It has flaws, but it's just not interesting. But it does enough to qualify it as a Cabernet. You know it's Cab. And it has a little bit of a facsimile / scan / chalk outline / whatever of a decent wine.
But
it is a copy of that. And so it's just not what the original is. And the original, the grape stock and things of that nature, if it's done right and it's done properly, maybe an 87, you know, it may be an 88, but yeah, it's not.
Could it be? I guess. Maybe. I don't know. What? So there's plenty of $20 cabs out there. Let's just run through some of them.
Oh, there's not. There's other than, okay.
I mean, not Oakville, but let's just compare this to things that we've
had
about and we've talked about.
I mean, obviously, but we're not counting like the Miomis, the Bonanzas, kind of bullshit. Real ones. Louis Martini.
Less than this.
Yeah, it is.
Less than this.
Yeah, I know.
Every day it's better than this.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Let's see. Oh, Edge. I know.
Fucking kidding me?
Anything Chilean.
Any of the Washington cabs that we like. The low-end Horse Heaven Hill stuff.
The ones that I would say this is better than are like the Sonoma County Rodney Strong. That's not very good.
I don't know.
We've never liked that guy. We've had a couple. But their Knights Valley, their Alexander Valley, yeah. Those are all way better.
But they're a little more expensive than this.
Yeah, by $2. $3.
Okay.
Even $4. You know, when you can find the Clos du Bois Alexander Valley Cabernet, it's a lot better than this.
A lot better than this.
Hell, man. Dow from Paso, it's a couple bucks more. It's better than, way better than this.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, no, it's good.
That's what it comes down to.
Well, it's easier to think of the ones that are worse than this, and I can't think of any right now.
Well, those California designates, but they're about $20.
But I was never thinking about buying those anyway. So the question is, what do I do with the second bottle? What I'm going to do with it?
Josh? I'd rather have Josh than this.
I haven't had Josh long enough to say that.
I don't care how long it's been. That's a lesser wine.
I would have to drink it. I would have to drink it before I would say that, and I don't think I like Josh very much. So
the Joel Gott stuff, that's just okay. Think I'd rather have it.
I've not drank enough of it because it, well, we've had it on the show. It didn't impress. But, you know, the Killer Canoon from Australia, it was $17.99, man. That's a cab. That's a real good cab. It's just kind of funny. You put Oakville on the label and you go, well, now it's $20. First of all, suck my balls. There's no reason for me to believe this is from Oakville. Maybe the truck drove through Oakville, but it's not from.
As Chef said on South Park, pop them in your mouth and suck them.
Yeah. I mean, this might be some sort of plot next to a fucking Porter John that needs to be emptied.
It's
but
just, when it, you.
Come on. Fuck you. Fuck you, Alison Krauss. Sorry.
85.
I know that people say, well, you're talking to a lady. Now, screw that. She makes bad wine and
sure
she
she's
puts
a nice
her name. Maybe she's not. I don't think she is. She puts her name on this shit. She
That's
acts like
right.
it. She's some big shit, and she sucks.
She's got a wine blog.
I've got a wine blog.
Well, we kind of more podcast.
Yeah, but I have written in the past.
People think we blog, but that's okay.
I haven't written anything in a while. I need to.
They don't know what podcast.
No, no. It's the Wine Warlock. That's going to be the new one. If Wilford Wrong, but it's Wong. I am going to do that. So it's going to be great.
I should do that. I will do that, I think. Can you imagine?
Making references to Steve Bodie.
You're just typing something random and you just go off. It's like squirrel and you just. You know
what? I don't get distracted. No, no, no. Unless somebody takes their clothes off, then I get distracted because I'm like, wow, they took their clothes off. So that means it's like an open invitation, Scott. That means I take my clothes off, right?
Wilfred, when does anybody take their clothes off around you?
Well, the thing is, I don't have to see it. I know what's happening. So if I'm in a store.
You don't have to see it.
Let me finish. Don't be rude. I know it's happening. They have a dressing room at a store, right?
Okay.
Well, they take their clothes off. I take mine. Now, I was in the Kids Gap, and they did have...
Gap store.
Was the Kids
Children's
Gap. Baby Gap, yeah. And, well, they have a dress room in the Gap, Scott. So I... Okay. Yeah, I did end up in jail that time, okay? I acknowledged I was wrong there. I should have taken my clothes off in the Gap, not the Baby Gap. So, you know, they're connected. I didn't know. I did know. I mean, there was kids' clothes in there, but I you know, I've got a problem.
So yeah. That's why you get multiple postcards mailed with your picture on it to the people?
No, they mail my.
Your picture's everywhere.
I'm on an app, but not the app you want to be on. No, no.
Lord.
No. It's awkward, but that's okay. I changed my appearance, Scott. I put on a fake mustache.
Yeah.
Yes, but I...
You wear a gray overcoat instead of a tan one.
Well, strangely enough, I put the mustache down above my penis, so it's like pubes. So I'm disguising that part. So when they try to identify me, that's all they're ever going to see anyway. So you know what I did? I put a hat down there and some of those glasses with the fake nose. Yeah, disguise. Yeah.
I'm speechless.
You want to see it?
Absolutely not.
You won't be able to identify it a second time. I just was too well known, you know?
Too well known.
Because I wear a ski mask.
I'll bet you do.
But that if I do that, then it defeats the purpose. So,
well.
You know. But then sometimes it pops out the nose. That's kind of funny.
Sure, I'll bet it is.
It is. It's hilarious.
I bet it gets a lot of laughs.
Well, I did this a couple times. I was laughed at. But it didn't work out too well.
First time for everything.
Well, I don't have a big penis, so, you know, it's small, but it's okay.
But somehow you're a really big dick.
Thank you, Scott. Are you coming on to me? I think you are.
No,
you just said, you want a really big dick? And that's how I heard it. I've got mental problems, so I hear things differently than other people.
That sounds like an auditory issue.
Well, that's true, too, but I'm also stupid, so there's that.
Well.
You know. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. So. Oh, yes, I gave it an 85, you gave it an 84. Not recommended. And Alison Krauss goes in the wine vault Hall of Shame. I think she was already in there. But well, now she's a double inductee.
I think we didn't care for the Malbec either.
But she didn't make that.
I thought she did.
No, she doesn't go. They don't let her outside the country.
I think she does.
No, she didn't make the Malbec.
Mm, we should look at that.
You go ahead and look at it.
She's taking credit for going to Chile and Argentina.
I would like for her to
work for Garnet.
We revoke her fucking passport. Leave her down there. So keep on going south. Go to Antarctica. God. God, she's bad. I can't forget more of this.
You tried.
I tried. I tried to like it, but I can't. I just don't like it. I give it an 85, but I don't like 85, so there you go. Not recommended. Bullshit. Come on, Kirkland. Do better. You got Europe down on lockdown.
So far.
I mean, that's good stuff. Your California stuff so far has sucked.
And so, like the Alexander Valley, I would give it a try again.
No.
This I won't.
No.
So just because of the price point. It's like I wouldn't spend $20.
No. I won't buy anything with her name on it ever again. Ever. Even for humor's sake.
Oh, we have to for humor's sake.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I make a Napa Valley wine. Fuck you. It got 90 from the Spectator. What vintage? 2012? I mean, come on, man. Live in the now.
This got a 90 from the Spectator.
No, that was her, just her straight Napa. So not the Oakville. So yeah, I never read that review. She's acting like she did something. I told Costco who to buy it from, and it got a 90, so I put it on my LinkedIn. God, I can only be if I had a fake voice for her, I would sound sexist, so I can't do it. So,
well, we don't need to mock her, just her winemaking ability. She's probably a very nice person.
On the back of her bottle here, Alison Krogh, winemaker. And winemaker's capitalized. It doesn't need to be, but she did. So therefore, she identifies herself as a winemaker. And I can tell you right now, you are not a winemaker. You might be a candlestick maker or a baker or a who fucking knows, but you do not make good wine. So stop. Lord. Just fucking. And Costco, drink some of this shit. Or hire somebody that knows what good wine tastes like to drink some of this shit.
Dude, it's Costco.
Have the person that's drinking the European stuff drink this stuff, because it's obviously not the same person.
It's Costco, sir.
So what? So what? This is their signature series.
Okay.
She's like, next I'm moving on to pillage and burn St. Helena. Then I'm going to go, you know... I can't even say the words I want to say, but, you know, defile Rutherford. Then Yountville is my next victim. Then, oh, what I'm going to do to Stag's Leap. Oh, it won't be able to walk straight for a month.
Now, you know what we should try?
What?
Garnet Vineyards.
This is Alison Krogh. Have you ever been to Canaros? I make a Pinot Noir from there. Tim Atkins.
No, you sound like James Suckling becoming Mrs. Doubtfire.
Maybe it is. Maybe it does. She's not a handsome lady. But,
have you ever had my Canaros Pinot Noir? Rob the Wine Guy doesn't like Canaros Pinot Noirs to begin with. Imagine how mine tastes.
She is the wine witch, isn't she?
No, what wizard.
Oh, she's a wizard.
You're the wine witch, bitch.
Whatever. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Lens and Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu, but we will see you next time here on The Wine Ball. Good night.